السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. الحمد لله الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام الأتمان الأكملان على خير خلق الله أجمعين، وعلى آله وأصحابه ومن سار على سبيله ونهجه ومن استن بسنته ومن اهتدى بهديه إلى يوم الدين، أما بعد. وقد قال تعالى في قرآن المجيد والفرقان الحميد: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، وأقيموا الصلاة وآتوا الزكاة وأطيعوا الرسول لعلكم ترحمون. وقد قال تعالى: ولا يحسبن الذين يبخلون بما آتاهم الله من فضله هو خيرا لهم بل هو شر لهم، سيطوقون ما بخلوا به يوم القيامة، ولله ميراث السماوات والأرض، والله بما تعملون خبير. صدق الله العظيم. All praise, all thanks is only due to Allah Ta'ala, that He has allowed us to sit for a little while here to revive and to remind ourselves on one very important aspect of our deen, and that aspect is zakat. Now what happens is zakat, because it's given annually, like how often it happens that our Eid Salat, when we go for Eid Salat, we'll find the Imam has to remind us that these are the masail of Eid Salat, these are the amount of takbirs that are being read, this is when the qiraat will be read, etc. Because we don't do it every day. So similarly, zakat is done on an annual basis, and it's not something that we do all the time. So therefore, to refresh the masail of zakat is important. And this zakat, as we'll find and we'll see, is not a very difficult thing. It's not complex. It seems complex sometimes when you're looking at our annual financial statements, and when a person is looking at all the different economic indicators, etc., he thinks that zakat is something complex. But as we will go through it today, we'll simplify it, that this is something very easy. When a person is first learning to read Quran Sharif, then it seems difficult that how I'm going to read Quran, and the person who's becoming a hafiz, he thinks, how I'm going to memorize this whole Quran. But as he starts and he learns the rules and the laws of tajweed and the rules of reading, then it becomes easier and easier. So zakat is none the same. When we start learning the rules of zakat and we see how easy it is, this is not something complex. It is very easy. And one thing with zakat we must remember, that this is not a burden as it appears to be. The 2.5% I got to take out, so much of money I have to take and give, what will happen to my cash flow? Actually, zakat is something that is very, very beneficial for us. When a person, for example, is hiring someone, say the masjid hires someone to clean the masjid, to vacuum the masjid, to clean the windows, to clean the walls, to spray a nice perfume in the masjid, to make the masjid smell nice, the masjid is happy to pay that cleaning company. Or we call somebody to clean our homes, we're happy to pay them. Why? Because they are cleaning, they're doing some service for us. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made zakat such. One of the meanings, we'll go through it now, one of the meanings of zakat is taharat, to cleanse. Allah has made zakat a cleansing agent for our wealth. We got wealth, what is going to clean the wealth? We got soap to clean our hands. We got shampoo to clean our head. We got a chamois to clean the car. What is going to clean the wealth? Allah has made it such that zakat cleanses the wealth. It creates taharat, it cleanses the wealth, and it cleanses the heart. We may ask ourselves, how is zakat going to cleanse the heart? It cleanses the heart from bukhl. Bukhl means stinginess. This heart also gets cleaned when a person is giving zakat. So when we're giving zakat, we will be happy. We're getting so much in return for this 2.5%. It's actually a bargain. Allah Ta'ala is giving us a bargain. And one other meaning, we'll go through it also, is nama, increase. Allah is increasing our wealth through zakat. يَمْحَقُ اللَّهُ الرِّبَا وَيُرْبِ الصَّدَقَاتِ. Riba, interest, is something which is very dangerous, something which is very detrimental. It seems as though it's increasing our balance, our bank balance, but riba, Allah is saying, destroys your wealth. وَيُرْبِ الصَّدَقَاتِ. This zakat and this charity of yours that you're giving is actually increasing your wealth. Nothing can be more correct and 100% perfect in the word of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So although that bank balance may seem to come down when we discharge our zakat, but actually our wealth is increasing. And this is in the hikmat and the wisdom, the knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Sometimes we'll actually see it literally in our lives, or sometimes it will take different forms of increase, but definitely there will be increase when we discharge our zakat. One other thing with regards to zakat is its perfect administration, its perfect design. You can't flaw the design of zakat. I'll just give you an example. Let us look at our tax laws we've got in the country. Every year there's something known as a budget speech. In the budget speech, certain laws are repealed, certain laws are brought in, there are certain amendments that are made, there are new additions, there's a new thresholds, there's no new tax thresholds, there's new figures, there's new POI figures that are brought in every year. And what is this brought in for? To adjust for the economic factors around us, to adjust for inflation. Ask ourselves, when Hazrat Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam brought the laws of zakat from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it was sent to him, and now how many years have passed from the time and the demise of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Has there been one amendment to the law of zakat? Has there been one repealing of the law of zakat? Has there been one change to the amount and quantum as far as zakat is concerned? Absolutely nothing. It has transcended the economic changes of the world. It has transcended the financial difficulties or the financial challenges of the world. And it's still very, very relevant right up till this day. All the laws of zakat. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made it perfect. So this is the beauty. And there's no need right up till the day of Qiyamah to go and amend the laws of zakat. It's such a beautiful way of generating revenue to assist and help those that are in need. So it is a means of creating empathy, it's a means of creating sympathy, it's a means of identifying with those that are less fortunate. And this system has been created by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In fact, if all the rich people discharge their zakat, there won't be one poor Muslim that will be in need without having food, without having water, without having the basic necessities of life. This is how perfect this zakat system is. It's just that we don't apply it correctly, and many of us, Allah Ta'ala save us and forgive us, we don't discharge our zakat until some calamity comes. Then quickly we want to run to some alim or some person that some calamity has hit. There's some fire that has broken out in my business. My business has burned down. So now let me get my zakat in order. We shouldn't wait for a situation like that. In advance, we should already be giving our zakat. Anyway, when it comes to zakat also, there are many, many virtues and fazail of giving zakat. We explain some of them. One ayat of the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala explains, مَثَلُ الَّذِينَ يُنْفِقُونَ فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ. Those people that spend in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah explains, كَمَثَلِ حَبَّةٍ أَنْبَتَتْ سَبْعَ سَنَابِلَ فِي كُلِّ ثُمْبُلَةٍ مِئَةُ حَبَّةٍ. It's like a corn, one seed is planted of corn, of millet, and when it grows up, it comes up, it has 7 ears. If you see in the picture of it, you'll see there's 7 ears. And in each ear, it has 100 grain corns. So how much was invested into the ground? 1. How much did a person get? 700. If we now got to take what percentage return you're getting on that 1, is 70,000% return. This is from the side of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that you're giving one and you're getting so much. So this is what this ayat is saying, is Allah ta'ala gives you much, much more than what you have given in zakat. So don't feel that you have lost out. But yes, on the other side, when a person is not giving his zakat, he's not discharging his zakat, there are severe warnings that come in the hadith. One hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, man aatahu Allahu malan falam yuaddi zakatahu muthila lahu yawm al-qiyamati shuja'an aqra' lahu zabibatan yutawbiquhu yawm al-qiyamati thumma ya'khudhu bilihzimatayhi ya'ni shidqihi thumma yaqul أنا مالك أنا كنزك ثم تلا ولا يحسبن الذين يبخلون بما آتاهم الله من فضله هو خير لهم إلى آخر الآية. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned that person who Allah ta'ala has bestowed wealth, he's got wealth with him, but he does not discharge the zakat on that wealth. What is the ramifications? What is the negative consequences of that? That you've got wealth, Allah has blessed you with wealth, but you haven't discharged the zakat of wealth. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says that it will be made like on the day of Qiyamah into a bald snake. Muthila lahu, that bald snake now will actually attack this person. And Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam explains graphically how this bald snake will attack a person. And lahu zabibatan, not just bald, one is that snake being bald. And then Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam mentioned it will have 2 black dots above its head. Can you imagine how furious the snake will be looking? A big, massive snake, bald, with 2 dots above its eyes. So now that looks like 4-eyed snake, that's what it will appear. And then Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam says, يُطَوِّقُهُ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ, that this snake will yoke itself around this person's neck. ثُمَّ يَأْخُذُ بِلِهْزِمَتَيْهِ, and then now what it will do, it will start biting at this person's cheeks, biting at his jaws. This snake, what was that snake? The snake was actually his wealth. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala transformed it into a snake. That same wealth that he thought he was saving, that same wealth that he thought would bring him security, is attacking him on the day of Qiyamah. How serious it is. What we're looking for in security, as far as our wealth is concerned, but we're not discharging zakat on it, is actually the very means of us being attacked on the day of Qiyamah. And then this wealth now, this snake will now address him. You know who I am? Ana maluk, ana kanzuk. I am your wealth. I am your hod. You're hoarding all that wealth that you hoarded and you built up, but you did not discharge zakat. This is who I am. And then Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam read this ayat, وَلَا يَحْسَبَنَّ الَّذِينَ يَبْخَلُونَ بِمَا آتَاهُمُ اللَّهُ مِنْ فَضْلِهِ وَخَيْرًا لَهُمْ, that don't think that those people that hoard from the virtues and from the ni'mat that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has, from the fadl that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given them, they are hoarding. Don't think that it's good for him, for them. بَلْ هُوَ شَرٌّ لَهُمْ, this is actually something that is very, very bad, evil for them. And then Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam explained this, from the ayat of the Quran, which I've just told you now, what will happen is that will be made into a snake to coil around a person's neck. This is what will happen to a person when he hoards. So on one side, we know that zakat is something that we have to discharge as great virtues. And on the other side, there are great, grave repercussions for not discharging our zakat. Let's go into zakat now. What is the meaning of zakat? Zakat, what does it mean? What is the linguistic meaning? So it has two meanings. One is, as I explained to you, is to grow. In Arabic we say zakat zar'u, that the grain, the corn, the plantation, the crops, they have grown. I will explain it, zakat zar'u, the crops have now grown. So it has a meaning of growing. So when we are discharging our zakat, Allah is causing our wealth to grow. Allah is causing us to grow. Don't think that we are losing out. We should be happy. This is also coming from the linguistic meaning, as we can see. The second meaning it has is taharat and tazkiyah. This is the meaning. One ayat of the Quran, قَدْ أَفْلَحَ الْمُؤْمِنُونَ قَدْ أَفْلَحَ مَنْ تَزَكَّى قَدْ أَفْلَحَ مَنْ زَكَّاهَا. So these ayats are showing us that successful is that person who has purified, who has cleansed himself. So where is the purification coming in? As I explained, we're purifying our wealth, purifying our hearts from stinginess. So this Shariat, the linguistic meaning takes into account these two aspects of Shariat also, of zakat, growth and taharat. Let's look at the Shari'i meaning. What is the Shari'i definition of zakat? إِعْطَاءُ جُزْءٍ مِّن نِصَابِ الْحَوْلِ إِلَىٰ فَقِيرٍ أَوْ نَحْوِهِ غَيْرِ هَاشِمِيٍّ بِشَرْطِ قَطْعِ الْمَنْفَعَةِ مِنَ الْمُمَلِّكِ, that to give some portion of a person's wealth every year to a person, a poor person, or a poor person that is in the category of a poor person. Sometimes a person may have wealth, but he's overseas, he's stranded. He's in some jungle, he's lost all his money. He's a wealthy person at home, but he's in the category of a poor person. He's not really poor, but he's in the category of a poor person. So you get people like that who qualify, or they fall into a category of a poor person. So the definition is saying that person who is poor or in the category of a poor person, so long as he is not from the family of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he is not from the Banu Hashim. And one other condition is put, that a person when he discharges his zakat, it's not a condition that he is going to get some kickback. He's going to get some benefit from the zakat that I'm giving. Listen, I'm going to give you my zakat, but I need you to do me one favor and give me something in return. There must be no benefit for the person. I'm giving it free of any type of conditions, of any personal benefit. There must be no benefit for me. This is what is referred to in Shariat as discharging a person's zakat. Okay, now we're going into the masail of zakat. I'll try and keep it as simple as possible. So inshallah, when we leave from here, we can understand the rules of zakat in a very simple way. It will become very easy for us to apply the rules. After that, if there's still any questions, we'll have a short session where we can ask the questions. And maybe on an annual basis, when we need to discharge our zakat, there will be some things that will trouble us. We can always check again. But this will give us a good understanding of what the laws and the masail of zakat are. The first thing is, upon whom is zakat for us? Upon whom is zakat necessary? Who should give zakat? It's a good starting point. Do I qualify to give zakat or do I not qualify? So let us see upon whom zakat is necessary. The first person is a person that is, or a person that has this quality, is a Muslim. Person is a Muslim, so that's the first condition, that a person is a Muslim. The next is a person is baligh. This morning somebody came to ask me that there's a young person, not baligh, but got a lot of money. It happens. Many times people, they invest on behalf of their children. It's their children's funds, they invest it, or they make them shareholders in their businesses for purposes, but they make them the real shareholders. That these, the money really belongs to this child. But the person is not baligh. So if a person is not baligh, then there's no zakat on the person. So here, first condition is Muslim. Second condition is a person must be baligh. Third condition is a person must be aqil. He must be a sane person. He mustn't be a person that is mentally challenged. He doesn't know what he's doing. He does not know. He can't understand. He's suffering from insanity. This person is excluded from zakat. So first, Muslim. Second, baligh. Third, aqil. Person must be a sane person. Fourth is must be a free person and not a slave. Then, these people, I'm going to explain one rule now on masla, where many people get confused. These people that have a Muslim, they baligh, we explained, aqil, sane, and is a free person, they had nisab for the whole year. They had nisab for the whole year. Understand what I'm saying? The value of nisab today is 9,124 rand, 1 cent. So let's just round it up. 9,200 rand. This is the value of nisab. Right? So these people that had the value of nisab for the whole year, listen carefully what I'm saying. And the first time that they had the value of nisab, a person became baligh. And the first time he had a net amount of 9,200 rand. Now, obviously, it depends on which year he became. But he came baligh 20 years ago. He got to see what was the nisab value at that date. Let's assume somebody became baligh today. So 9,200 rand he has. 1 year must pass without that amount going below zero. 1 year must pass without that amount going below zero. That 12-month period from the time he has 9,200 will be his first zakat date. So people confuse this. And what they say, but I didn't have that money for 12 months. This law is for a starter. Starter. In other words, a person who didn't have nisab, now he got for the first time, he became baligh, he got for the first time 9,200. 12 months must pass. Now every year on that specific date, if it is, for example, 20th of Ramadan, like today, 20th of Ramadan, then what every year, 20th of Ramadan, he must calculate his zakat. It's as simple as that. There's one other exception to this. Is a man, he maybe had nisab, but he went into problems, he went below zero, he went negative. In other words, you take his zakatable assets, minus zakatable liabilities, you went into a negative. Now that person who went into a negative, minus one, minus two, minus three, he's gone into a negative. When he comes and reaches nisab again, and 12 months passes, he will now calculate his zakat from the time he gets nisab for the first time in 12 months pass. That's all the 12-month rule is. It doesn't refer to us having money in our possession for 12 months every year, some gold coins, but I only bought the gold coins 3 days ago. Should I pay zakat? I didn't have it for 12 months. It doesn't apply to us, most of us. This is for a starter. So inshallah, I think we understand that. Starter or a person that went below zero, and now he gets nisab for the first time again, 12 months pass. So if we understand this rule, it becomes very easy. We don't worry about 12 months. If I got that gold coins yesterday and today is my zakat date, I bring the value of those gold coins into my zakat calculation. So now we discussed on whom is zakat wajib, on whom is zakat necessary. Here I'm using the words wajib and faraz interchangeably. Zakat is necessary on these type of people. We explained Muslim, baligh, aqil, hur, person is a free person. Now what is included in zakat? What is included in zakat? A person has got houses, he's got yachts, he's got aeroplanes, a person may have diamonds, he may have gold, he may have silver, he may have properties, he may have holiday homes. What do I bring in my zakat calculation? That is the question that is being asked. So I'll make it very easy. We'll bring 6 categories, and depending on how you categorize, you can open it up, it will become more categories. But just for the sake of ease, I'll bring 6 categories. What do we include when we calculating our zakat? So for our understanding purposes, this will be our starting point when we are writing down onto a schedule, or if we are inputting onto an Excel schedule. This will be our starting point. These are the assets I'm going to bring in to calculate my zakat. So on the top, we're going to start with these assets. What's the first asset that we bring in from all the assets that we have? The first asset that we'll bring in is cash. Whatever cash we have, whatever cash. If it is dollars, we bring in dollars. We might ask ourselves, how do we calculate zakat on the dollars? Very simple. If my zakat date is 20th of Ramadan, I'll bring in there, I got 1,000 US dollars. I multiply it by the rate today, the market rate today, that will give me that zakat value for my US dollars. If I got British pounds, I bring it the pounds in. If I got the sterling, I'll bring the sterling. If I got euros, whatever it is, whatever cash I got South African rands, whatever bank accounts, I bring all that in as my cash, and I put one total value. This is my cash. So first thing we bring in is cash. Everyone understands that's very simple. In our calculation, the first thing we'll bring in is cash. Cash under the mattress, cash in the bank, cash under the pillow. Whatever cash we got, we bring in that for calculation purposes. Don't get worried, we don't have to show the receipt of revenue. This is our zakat calculation. So the first thing we bring is cash. Second thing we bring is debtors and loans. When I'm speaking about debtors, we bring in trade debtors. I'm going to explain this now, why I'm saying trade debtors and loans. Loans means monies that we have lent somebody. Somebody needed a loan, we transferred from our bank account 10,000 to so-and-so as a loan. Or we gave so-and-so 10,000 rand cash loan. These are known as loans. So those loans we bring in, trade debtors, I was explaining to you just now. Why trade debtors? Trade debtors means debtors that have arisen as a result of sale of stock. Debtors that have arisen as a result of sale of stock. Now you may ask me that why are we being so specific? Because you can have debtors that haven't arisen as a result of sale of stock. For example, a person has got properties that he's letting out to tenants. And those tenants are owing him money for those properties, rentals, haven't yet received. That is not as a result of sale of stock. You don't bring those debtors in for our zakat calculation. Or somebody's owing a person for the sale of a vehicle. I sold my vehicle to Qasim or Muhammad. And now Qasim or Muhammad is owing me for my vehicle. It's a debtor to me. But it hasn't arisen as a result of a sale of stock. Those debtors don't come into my calculation. So it is debtors that have result as a sale of stock. In other words, in our business, whatever the stock is, we bring those debtors in. So we got it. First is cash, second is debtors, and under debtors I explain is loans, whatever we lend to anybody. There's one more category that will come under the second where we talk debtors, loans. Sometimes we've got deposits that have been given, municipal deposits, deposits for our light account. These deposits also need to be brought in for zakat purposes. Sometimes we may have given a deposit to someone, for whatever reason he's holding it in safekeeping for us. It's our money. We've got to bring these deposits in. So any type of deposits that we've got, these deposits must be brought in. So first we explained was cash, then we said debtors, trade debtors, loans, and we explained under these loans also, we bring in any type of municipal deposits or other deposits. The third category is stock. We need to bring in stock. Here we spoke about debtors before this. Now we're speaking about the stock on our floor. Stock we may have in a warehouse, stock we may have at home, whatever trading stock we got. The question that will come to our mind is, what value do we bring to trading stock? Very simple, is look and see what business, what industry I am. For example, a person is selling chocolates. He's selling Cadbury chocolates. If he is in the retail business, what is the retail value of this chocolates? If I have to sell all of these chocolates that I've got to one customer at one go, what will I sell these Cadbury chocolates for? One customer walks in, he wants to buy all these chocolates, what will I sell him? That is the value I should bring in for this stock of mine. If a person is selling chocolates, but now he's selling it in a wholesale industry, obviously his value will be slightly lower because his price of selling will be lower. Then the person is selling that same chocolate. Let's give an example, one Top Deck. He's selling it in where? He's selling it in a duty-free shop in the airport. Now we know the value there will be slightly higher because the value in the airport now is higher. So he'll bring in a higher value for those chocolates. If one customer has to come into the duty-free shop and wants to buy all this, what will I charge him? Person has got a garage quick shop. In the garage quick shop, normally the prices are also higher. So he'll bring it a dead value. So look to see what industry, which business circle you are in. Accordingly, you bring the value of your stock, market value of your stock. Sometimes you'll find that same chocolate, if a person has to buy it on the aeroplane, CFA is flying. Now they come to sell the chocolate, you'll find sometimes it's 10 rand more than what he would have paid in the supermarket for the chocolate. Why? Because that value is different. So those people in the airline industry, they need to bring in the value that they would normally sell the chocolate. So look to see which industry we are in, and accordingly we bring the market value of stock. One intelligent thing to do is let us be a little bit prudent. Let us be a little bit consistent in the way we calculate our stock. In other words, we should rather err on the side of caution. We be conservative in the values that we bring in for our stock. So bring in a little bit higher value. We'll end up paying a little bit more zakat, no problem. But let us not bring too lower value. This is not something that is written in stone. It's something that we'll have to apply our mind to. We'll have to apply our understanding to. Our judgment is a judgment call that this is the stock, this is the value. Let me adjust slightly higher, so I bring in a higher value of stock. And accordingly, I'll pay a little bit higher zakat, no problem. But at least I have peace of mind that I have discharged the zakat on my stock. So in his calculation, he brought in cash, he brought in debtors, he brought in loans. Now he brings the third item, I said, stock. As simple as that. The fourth item that a person will bring is gold and silver jewelry. Person may have gold and silver jewelry. You may ask, how do we value the gold and silver? We are very fortunate in our country. Many, many of the jewelers, they'll take our jewelry, they'll weigh it, they'll write it down for us. This is the value of your jewelry. A good thing to do is to keep the value written down of those jewelry. And every year now, we don't have to take the jewelry again to the jeweler. We can ask him, Muslim jeweler, reliable. See, these are the values. I haven't increased my values. These are the same value of my jewelry. Please give me the current value. So he'll give you current value of your gold jewelry so much, silver jewelry so much, based on the weight of the jewelry. Obviously, if we bought more jewelry now, we will need to get a new valuation done for our gold and silver jewelry. So the fourth thing brought in is gold and silver jewelry. The fifth thing is livestock. Many of us are not in the livestock industry. We don't sell livestock. And there are different masail as far as livestock is concerned. If anybody got questions with regards to livestock, can see me later on after the program. We won't complicate things by going into the masail of livestock. The sixth thing that we bring in is shares. That a person has got investments, he's got shares. One easy way, if it is a private company, he's got access to financial information, or he knows the people, the accountants, etc., that are handling the books or handling the records of the company, he gets the value of these things. That this company that I got shares in, I'm a 20% equity shareholder in this company. What is the stock? What is the debtors? What is the cash of the company? Please let me have these figures as of today. My zakat date is 20th of Ramadan. Please let me have these values. They will give him the current figures. He brings 20% of that value into his calculation. So this is where he got access to the figures. Where a person has investments in listed shares, now there to get listed companies to get current figures is very difficult. It's not something very easy. And very often we don't have access to the accountants and those people that are handling the books. So what do we do in a situation like that? The best thing to do is to bring the market value of those shares that we have. If we got the heart, bring the market value. But at a bare minimum, we should bring in 25% of the market value of the shares. 25% of the market value of the shares should be brought into our zakat calculation. This has been done by research and testing by many people to see that on average, what is your stock debtors cash of an ordinary company? It doesn't normally come to more than 25%. Therefore, if we want to bring in a value for listed companies, take the market value, bring in 25%. As I explained, the best thing to do will bring the whole value of the share of a listed company, the market value. So these are the things that are brought in our zakat calculations. Just to quickly recap, cash, debtors, loans, deposits, market value of stock. So these are different line items a person will bring. Gold and silver jewelry, and he'll have any shares or investments that he's got. He brings these values in. So this will form a major part of our zakat calculation. As simple as that. See, six items, we brought it in. Now let us pause for a moment. Did we bring in property here? No. Did we bring in vehicles? No. Did we bring plant and machinery? No. Did we bring land and buildings? No. We only brought in these items. As simple as that, zakat is so easy, so beautiful, so simple.
So many big assets we got, we don't have to bring it in. Did we bring in diamonds, platinum? No, we brought in gold and silver. So zakat is very, very simple. These are the few items that we bring in our calculation. Yes, you will have some people that have got other technicalities with regards to some pension fund, or they're holding some other type of currencies. That is different, but as a general idea, these are the items that are brought in for the average person as far as his zakat is concerned. So this is the beginning part of our calculation, the first part of the calculation, which assets to bring in. The next thing we bring is minus liabilities. So we brought in the assets minus liabilities. What are liabilities? Liabilities are all monies that are owed as at the date of zakat. My zakat calculation is 28th of Ramadan. As at today, all monies that I'm owing for halal purposes, remember this, for halal purposes, all monies that I'm owing, this is a shari'i liability upon me. I bring in the whole amount. I owe someone, I borrowed 100,000 from him. I'm repaying him every month 10,000. That as at 20th of February, I got 50,000 balance left to pay him. I bring in that full 50,000 to repay him. Or I may be paying him over a long period of time. I'm owing him 1 million rand. As at 20th of Ramadan, I'm owing him 500,000. I'm giving him 10,000 a month. Because I'm owing him 500,000, as at 20th of Ramadan, I'll bring that as a deduction. So all monies that are owing as at the date of zakat calculation is what is a shari'i liability. As simple as that, we brought in our assets, we less our liabilities. What we get now is a figure called net zakatable assets. We took our assets, less our liability. This figure that we reach is called net zakatable assets. If that figure is more than the nisab, we gave an example that today's nisab is approximately 9,200 rand. If that value is more than the nisab, what we do is in that full amount, we give 2.5%. If that value is less than 9,200, we're in a position where we don't have to discharge zakat. As simple as that. So we take the assets, we less our liabilities. If that amount is more than the nisab of the day, we take that full amount, the net zakatable asset amount, multiplied by 2.5%, and we discharge it. When we discharge the money, we can discharge it over a period of time. We don't have to give the whole amount one time. Sometimes our cash flow might be in a situation, it may be difficult, but we make it a point of calculating everything on our zakat day. I made emphasis of the zakat day. This is something that people overlook. Ideally, it's the first day from the time a person became baligh, he had nisab, 12 months have passed, that becomes automatically his zakat day. But many of us don't know that date. What we should do is fix an Islamic date every year. Apply our mind to the best of our ability. We can't remember the date, which day it was, first time we reached nisab. Let us fix a date. Okay, it'll be the 1st of Ramadan. I'm giving an example. Or some people fix 15th of Shaban. Some people fix 20th of Ramadan, 15th, whatever date, but it must be the same day every year. If it is the same day every year, it will avoid unnecessary fluctuations. It will avoid unnecessary problems. So this is something else that we have to keep in mind. There are some people that work on a solar year. This is wrong. We have to work on a lunar year, Islamic year. And then what they do, they take a solar year and then they apply a fraction to adjust that solar year to fit in with a lunar year. In other words, for the 10-day gap between the solar year and the lunar year, they apply a fraction. Remember that fraction will only adjust for that 10-day difference. It won't adjust for the value that has now changed between your assets of a solar year and your assets of a lunar year. We know, I'll give you an example, 28th of February, a person's zakatable assets may be 100 million. Come 1st of March, that zakatable assets could have gone up now to 200 million. Why? He sold 100 million worth of buildings, land and buildings. He could have sold a massive piece of land. It wasn't part of his zakatable assets. That fraction now that you have employed is not going to cater for that movement. So in one day, such a big difference. Can you imagine in 10 days what a big difference could happen? So this is not a foolproof system just to bring in one fraction and say, no, we're going to work on a solar year. It doesn't work. Practically, it doesn't work. There's no fraction that can adjust for the movement in assets over the period of time. That is, you'll have to calculate it on your zakat date on a lunar calendar. So this is very important. It doesn't work by just bringing in some fraction to adjust. Okay, there's one more thing that I wish to discuss is who is now we calculated the amount that we need to give. We got a zakatable Say it was, let's give an example, 25,000 ren. On a 1,000,000 ren, net zakatable assets, a person needed to give 25,000, 2.5%. So, who must he give this money to? Who can I give my zakat to? There is one important principle. It is known as tamlik. Tamlik means we make some natural person the owner of the money. Listen carefully what I'm saying. We make a natural person the owner of the money. In other words, if I take my zakat and I give it to the masjid, will this zakat be discharged? Is a masjid a natural person? No, it's not a human being. So therefore, don't make the mistake and take that money and just give it to some masjid or to some building project. That building project is not a human being. We have to give it to some natural person, make him the owner of it. Once he becomes the owner, and this natural person is a person that qualifies to receive zakat. Now we're going to go through who qualifies to receive zakat. The easiest way of seeing who qualifies to receive zakat is to see who doesn't qualify to receive. If we know who doesn't qualify, then we know automatically who qualifies to receive zakat. Who doesn't qualify to receive our zakat? The first person is a non-Muslim. If it's a non-Muslim, doesn't matter how poor he doesn't qualify, he's not mustahiq, he is not deserving, and he cannot receive our zakat. The second person, as we explained, is a Sayyid, a descendant of the Banu Hashim, the family of Hazrat Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We can't give them zakat. We should give them our lillah funds, our optional charity. These are great people from the progeny of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They deserve that additional honor. We should give them our optional voluntary funds. The next is ascendants and descendants. They can't receive our zakat. Ascendant means father, grandfather, great-grandfather, descendants, our son, grandson, great-grandson, in other words, our children going down. We can't give up, we can't give down. Yes, we can go right and we can go left. Person can give his brother, he can give his sister, he can give his cousins, no problem, they can receive my zakat. But a person can't give ascendants, he can't give descendants. The next person that can't receive zakat is a spouse. I can't give my wife. My wife can't give me zakat. Why? Because when a person is spending on his spouse, he's going to definitely get some benefit from that zakat. Whether he likes it or not, he's taking a direct benefit from that zakat by giving the spouse the zakat. So therefore, to avoid this type of abuse, Shariat has made it such that the husband can't give the wife can't give the husband. So who's been excluded? Just as a recap, non-Muslim, a Sayyid, ascendants, descendants. Spouses are excluded. The next is a minor whose father is wealthy. Minor person, and he's a poor person. His father is also poor. We can give that minor zakat. That's a minor qualifies. But you got a minor person who's not baligh, but his father is a wealthy person. That person you can't give zakat to. The next category is obviously a wealthy person. Person is wealthy, we can't give him. Wealthy means he himself needs to be giving zakat. When he does his calculation, his amount is coming to above nisab, he needs to give zakat, so he can't receive zakat from us. So that is known as a wealthy person as far as zakat is concerned. So these are the few people that can't receive zakat. Now once we got this in mind, we know exactly who we can give zakat to. A poor person, he's a Muslim, this person is entitled to receiving zakat. That is the type of person we give zakat to, and we should make it a point to try and look out. Yes, one is to just give some organization the money. If a person is unable to discharge zakat himself, is a reputable organization, he gives it to the reputable organization, that is okay. But some part of our zakat, we should try and give it ourselves. It creates a connection between us and the poor people. It creates a very good connection, and it is a way of doing something that is a great sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, teaching us that how zakat should be distributed, taken and given to the poor. It's not just a matter of outsourcing. Nowadays, we just want to outsource the qurbani. Let's just give it to somebody, let them do the qurbani for us. Zakat, let's just outsource it. Recently, one situation came where one person's mother had passed away. I heard this from the person in the burial service. He says the person's mother had passed away. So he phoned the burial service. He said, this is the address of my mother. You'll take care of the ghusl, you'll take care of the janaza, you'll take care of the burial, you'll just send me the bill. That's all. In other words, you'll handle everything, just send me the account. Even the janaza of a person's mother, person wants to outsource. So the spirit of Islam is we do it ourselves. We be part and parcel of the zakat process. It will create some connection between us and the poor. Allah Ta'ala give us all the tawfiq of making amal as simple as that zakat is. Was there anything difficult? Was there anything that we didn't understand? For a few minutes, inshallah, we'll take some questions and then we'll terminate. Ji, go for it. Okay. Here the question is, a person has sold a vehicle via a dealer. So in other words, the dealer is owing him that money for that vehicle. Here I explained this is a debtor. The dealer is owing the person the money, but he's not a trade debtor. Because he's not in the business of selling cars. The person who sold his car to the dealership is not in the business of selling cars. It wasn't as a result of trading stock that this debtor has arisen. So therefore, that amount that is owing from the dealership to him is not brought in for zakat purposes. It's a debtor, yes, but not a trade debtor. Okay, good question. Person has loaned someone money and now he doesn't know whether that money is recoverable or irrecoverable. Should he bring it as part of his loans? I explained to you loans come into zakat calculation, but here we got a loan that we are unsure of. Ulama explained that if there is a very, very unlikely chance of that amount being recovered, then a person doesn't bring it in. In other words, it's very unlikely that this person is going to repay. Then only he excludes it from his zakat calculation. He doesn't bring it in. Or, if the person flatly denies, he says, I'm not owing you that money. This person knows that man is owing me, but he's flatly denying. He's got the ability to repay, but he's denying it. In that case also, the loan won't be brought in. So in two cases, the loans won't be brought in. If it's highly unlikely that this person is going to repay, looking at his financial situation, looking at his condition, there's no way that this person is going to repay. Those loans now are left out. Or if a person denies that he is owing that money, then also you leave out those loans. The question is that you give an organization to feed people. Remember, this feeding is something that we have to be very careful. If it is in the form of giving hampers to the poor people, then it's okay. I explained to you something known as tamlik. Tamlik means you're making a poor person the owner of it. So when you give a hamper, you're making the poor person the owner of the hamper. If it is feeding where like a dastarkhan is put down and people are in just called to eat, you haven't actually made the poor person the owner of it. People are just coming, they're eating and they're going. At which point do you become the owner of the food? So therefore there's a difference between just putting a dastarkhan, people coming and eating, and actually making a poor person the owner. So if we're giving organizations zakat to distribute hampers, they're going to make the poor people the owner of the hampers, then it's fine. It mustn't be an open feeding scheme, and sometimes those open feeding schemes also is open to abuse. One masjid I seen some time back, they had a pamphlet that halim will be distributed in the month of Ramadan. All welcome, zakat, funds are from zakat, lillah and sadaqah. So everyone is welcome. Now remember, everyone is welcome means a rich person can come take from there. A non-Muslim can come take from there. Other people who don't qualify for zakat can take from there. Now will our zakat be discharged? It won't be discharged. Therefore, making a person that is mustahik, the owner of zakat, is necessary for our zakat to be discharged. Any other? That's fine. So in other words, the food is pre-packed. And now that pre-packed food is given over to the poor person. That poor person now becomes the owner of the food. That's fine. There's no problem. So long as there's some system of ownership being transferred to the poor person. That's perfectly fine. This is a very common question, brother is asking, nice question. When we give our zakat to organization, we get a Section 18A certificate. That Section 18A certificate helps us to reduce our taxes, our income tax. SARS allows deductions so long as we got Section 18A certificates for our donations. So we get a deduction on our donations given. Now, is this a benefit that a person is getting by discharging zakat? So let us understand this thing in context. When a person is discharging zakat, say I need to give 250,000 or 25,000 rand in zakat. I have given my zakat in full 25,000. That organization has given me a certificate. I am using that certificate to reduce an amount that has come upon me because of some type of oppression. This tax that I'm paying, especially in our country, we can see what's happening. There's such squander of funds, there's such abuse of funds, there's non-provision of basic services. So now I'm using to reduce my taxes, I'm using the certificate. So am I actually getting a benefit from zakat? The answer is no. I haven't got a benefit from zakat. All I'm doing is I'm reducing some zulm upon me, some oppression upon me. Yes, it was given, the certificate was given to me by some organization, but I'm using that certificate to avoid some type of oppression upon me, to pay so high taxes and getting nothing in return. So there is no harm when a person uses that. What is referred to is where a person takes direct benefit from the zakat recipient himself. So if for example, I give a poor person and from him I'm taking it, here there is no benefit from the poor person. We're actually using the certificate to try and avoid another oppression upon us, another expense upon us that really shouldn't have been there in the first place. That is some other. So it is no direct link between our zakat being discharged and us saving income taxes, which are such a burden upon us in this country. Any other questions? Yes. Good question. As I explained, zakat is asset-based. In other words, we look on our zakat date. On our zakat date, if I got stock, debtors, cash, gold and silver, jewelry, adding up to more than the nisab, after deducting my liabilities, it comes more than the nisab. Today's value, 9,200 approximately. If on that date I got this value, I must give my zakat. So in other words, I don't need to look to see what happened throughout the year, what revenue was earned, what is my income statement figures. I don't need. I just look at this date, what is the asset value of these specific assets, and then I calculate my zakat. So zakat is actually asset-based. A lot of people confuse it with revenue-based. They start looking at the income for the year. All that is unnecessary. We need to look on our zakat date, what assets do I have, and accordingly I bring it. Whether that asset was there for one day, or whether it was there for 300 days, obviously I explained that one-year law. We don't confuse that with our zakat calculation. Any other questions? Ji. Ji. Very good question. When a person is giving family members zakat, does he need to let them know that he's giving them zakat? And should he rather avoid giving the family members zakat, rather give them the lillah and give the zakat elsewhere? Hazrat Shaykh Zakaria Rahmatullah Ali has written that when a person is giving, discharging his zakat and he's giving it to his family members, he's getting double reward. Why double reward? One is for discharging zakat and one is for spending on family. So in other words, it's a good thing that we take zakat and we spend on our family. These are the people that are closest to us. We should spend our zakat on them, give them the zakat. But there's absolutely no need to tell them that this is zakat. We can tell them it's a gift. That's a very nice way of giving people zakat, that this is a gift for you. He doesn't need to know. So long as he's a worthy recipient of zakat, we give it to him. It actually makes a person feel nice that this person has given me a gift. You gave him for the sake of Allah. In your heart, you know it's zakat. That is good enough. Good question. If a person specifically asking with zakat money, then I think you may tell him it's zakat money. But if you want to be a little bit diplomatic in the way you approach it, you say it's money from my side. You say it's money from my side. So it is zakat money, but you never tell him it's not zakat. You say it's from my side. Zakat is also from your side. So in a nice way, you worked around that question that he asked you, just to make him feel nice. It's not really important for him to know what source it is. Whether it's lillah, whether it's zakat, for him he's receiving money, he's deserving of it. That is all he needs to know. Jazakallah. Allah Ta'ala give us all the tawfiq, making amal, bringing the zakat into our lives. It's something so simple, so easy. Let us make it a point. You find that a person, 28 February, he's got stock taking place at his business. So let us also bring this into our businesses, that on our my zakat date, I make it a point that stock take has been taken. Nowadays we got systems that can calculate electronically live stock figures it will give us, live debtors figures. Let us take out some time make it a special day, that this is the day I'm calculating my zakat. Let us give our zakat, let us discharge our zakat. An easy way to assist in cash flow for zakat is we can give it in advance. Like how you give provisional tax in advance, when the assessment comes, then it becomes very easy to pay the assessment. Why? Because the man has already given provisional tax. So like that, if we give zakat every month, when our zakat date actually comes, for example, I needed to give 100,000 naira in zakat. When my zakat date already came, I have given 80,000. Every month I was giving. So now at that date, I only got 20,000 left. So it makes it very easy on the cash flow. It makes it very easy on the mind. Let us not wait for one date and suddenly we see a big amount, we get scared. We know this is something that we have to do. We should make it easy upon ourselves. Every month we give zakat. And when the date comes, if we gave more, alhamdulillah. If we gave less, we need to top it up. As simple as that, a person will get rewarded. We should look for ways of making zakat easy upon ourselves. Allah Pak give us all the tawfiq of making amal. One other masla is when we're giving people zakat also, there's no need to go do a forensic audit. Sometimes people walk in, barge into other people's homes, they start opening the fridge, and they're opening this cupboard, and they're opening that cupboard. That is actually disrespectful to the people that are giving the zakat. Yes, we need to do a basic level investigation. People that are close to them, ask them, is this person a poor person? Is he owing people money? Do you know what's his financial situation? Try and get some information about the person, his neighbor, his friends, in a very dignified way. Get some information. Once we get a basic level of information, we can go and discharge our zakat to that person. There's no need to do detailed forensic audits. You know what, I need your bank statements, I need this information from you, I need all your credit card statements. And I bring so much of disrespect to the person. Yes, we do a basic level of investigation. We get a little bit of satisfaction that this person now is worthy of receiving, and accordingly we give our zakat. Inshallah, our zakat will be discharged. Sorry, one more question is coming. Go for it. The question is, a person's zakat is due today, for example, 100,000, and he's got 100,000 to pay it, but he delays it. If that delay is for a good cause, in other words, on a monthly basis, I'm looking for people that are deserving, then there's no harm in delaying it. For example, every month I'm going and I'm finding people for 10,000, 15,000, so it's helping me to give zakat throughout the year. Then that delaying it is actually for a good cause, there's no harm. But a person unnecessarily delaying zakat, there are people that are needy of the zakat, he knows those people, he needs to give zakat, and now he's just delaying it. I want to go for some holiday, I want to buy an extra car, or I want to invest somewhere, and now he's delaying giving zakat, that is problematic. So if his niyat is to help people for a longer period of time, therefore he's slowly giving that zakat, there's no harm. But if he's just delaying unnecessarily, procrastinating in giving zakat, this is very, very problematic. Like how a person procrastinate in salah, this is a problem. So like that, procrastinating in giving zakat unnecessarily is also a major problem. Allah Pak give us all the tawfiq of making amal. Allahumma rabbana atina fi dunya hasana wa fil akhirati hasana wa qina azab an-nar. Allahumma rabbana zalamna anfusana wa in lam taghfir lana wa tarhamna lanakunanna min al-khasirin. Allahumma rabbana taqabbal minna innaka antas samiul alim wa tub alayna innaka antat tawwabur rahim. Subhana rabbika rabbil izzati amma yasifun wa salamun alal mursalin walhamdulillahi rabbil alamin. One tip I share with all our friends is that the big nights, tonight is the first odd night. The big night doesn't start after Tarawih, it doesn't start after Isha. The big night starts actually when the Maghrib Azan goes. The big night has already started. So let us not lose that first part from Maghrib to Isha. That is already big night. So if we can spend more time after Maghrib Salah in the Masjid reading extra Salah, we can come early before the Isha Salah. We already got a head start to the big night. Many people leave it for later on when they're tired. They've lost a major part of the night by just delaying from the time of Maghrib till after Isha. So we got a head start from Maghrib time. Let us try and push extra. Tonight is a odd night. Allah Pak give us all the tawfiq of amal. Subhanallah bihamdi, subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika. Nashhadu an la ilaha illa anta nastaghfiruka wa natubu ilayk. Subhana rabbika rabbil izzati amma yasifun. Wa salamun ala al-mursaleen. Walhamdulillahi rabbil alamin.